Test 1, 2. Hey, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. That's customarily people say, Shabbat Shalom, Rabbi.
Shabbat Shalom, Rabbi.
I'll try that again. Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
All right. Praise the Lord. Shabbat Shalom, friends online. Sorry we're late. It's raining out. What can I say? It's Tennessee. When it rains in Tennessee, it's amazing if people get out of bed. Up north, you know, they go through... I used to walk to class in Vermont in 3-4 feet of snow with a half-inch thick wool pants and boots up to my thighs, and or at least over my knees. And I walked to class in the wintertime and literally 3-4 feet of snow. And I'd get there, and they'd have steam heat, you know, the oil heat in the buildings, these old buildings. They were 90 degrees. And you'd be covered with all these winter clothes and jackets and sweaters and wool pants, and you're wet, and then the water floods the floor, and you take off all these jackets and sweaters and scarves and sit there in a hot room, hot classroom, and then you had to put it all back on to go outside. That's amazing we didn't all just have pneumonia all the time, you know, but those were fun days. Those were days when I used to run up mountains and I used to ski at least 2 times a week in the winter time at Killington. We used to get a winter pass to ski at Killington for $400 for a student pass for a whole season. You could ski unlimited. Pretty good. It's pretty good skiing. I mean, pretty good price for unlimited skiing. Unfortunately, a lot of students skied every day, and they didn't go to class. And that usually lasted one year, and then they were gone the next year. But they had a good year while it lasted. Yep. You have to have balance in your life. All right, we're going to get started here. Shabbat Shalom, friends online. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is for Zion's Sake Ministries in Bristol, Virginia, and Tennessee. We're in Virginia, but our ministry's based in Tennessee. And... anyway, so we've been here many, many years, and our vision is Aliyah. Our primary vision is winning the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and winning souls is, of course, our primary vision. But our main way of a vision of this ministry, of our work to do that we have, that God has assigned us, is Aliyah, and helping the Jewish people and many Christians who love Israel, who understand that God is building an ark, and they know that they need to get in the ark, that Aliyah is the ark of the end time. Hallelujah. And if you don't know what Aliyah is, then you go to my website and you can look up some stuff like the Second Exodus newsletter and read about it, and just Google Aliyah and you'll learn about it. Anyway, we're going to get started, and Miss Diane has joined me here to my right, and Mr. Anthony Cody's over there to my left. How are you today, Diane?
Good.
Hanging in there. Yeah, she's glad not to be out there delivering the mail today. It's all good. Praise the Lord. Sloshing through the snow. Sloshing through the snow. Hopefully you won't have to.
Maybe someday I'll be delivering your mail.
I hope so. So
hopefully, yes.
She keeps bringing Bill.
No, he met me out on the
all
sidewalk.
Right, Lord help. We just pray that she brings checks to my house.
Oh, okay.
Not bills. Okay, let's get started. Hallelujah. Lord, bless the service. We give you thanks and praise today, and we are just, it's awesome to be your children, to be children of the King, to be saved, to be, you know, they say Elon Musk is the richest man in the world, but we're richer than he is.
Hallelujah.
it's an amazing thing to be in the kingdom, and we're gonna walk on streets paved with gold. You know, a man died one day, a rich man died, and he prayed to God. He said, God, before he died, he prayed. He was a believer, and he said, God, can I would you please let me bring some of my wealth to up to heaven with me? And God answered his prayer and said, you know, that's kind of a really strange request. Nobody gets to bring stuff with them. And God said, I'll grant this one request. So the man took a big sack of gold with him when he died, and he got to the gates of heaven. St. Peter said, what's in the bag, dude? And he opened it up. It was full of gold. And St. Peter said, why would you bring pavement to heaven? Yeah,
I like that. It's probably really true, Rabbi.
Well, that's what the Bible says. The streets will be paved with heaven, yeah, with of gold, yeah. Anyway, let's get started here. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Turn Don up, please. She is monitorless.
Yeah, monitor. That's a little. That's better.
You have Merrimack.
Still have myself more over here.
Carolyn, you want to join us?
That was my plan. Distraction.
Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, the blessing of the Messiah.
Thank you, Lord.
Baruch Atah Olam. Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvotav. Betzivanu. Mashiach Yeshua.
Let's try that again.
I don't have it.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
There it is.
That is on page 46 of your purple
Of your purple siddur. All right. Trying to get organized here. Excuse me. Bear with me. Por favor. Man, how many of you wish you crossed the Rio Grande illegally? They're giving $450,000. They want to give $450,000 to illegal immigrants who crossed, children who were separated from their parents in 2018. To at least 1,000 families, they want to give $450,000. How do you like that, huh? When a soldier dies, a U.S. soldier, they give the family, the widow or the widower, they give them $400,000. If a soldier dies in battle, the family gets $400,000. But they want to give these people who came in illegally $450,000. It's amazing. Okay, Matovu.
Prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
The Vishamru. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat dorotam berit olam. B'nai Israel, Od Hili Olam. Vishamru, B'nai Israel, Et HaShabbat, Lasod Et HaShabbat, Led Dorotam Berit Olam. Hisheshet Yamim Asa Adonai, Sadonai Shamayim V'yel Haaretz. Shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. V'yom ha-shvi'i Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat et dorotam berit olam.
children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again.
And pray for the peace of Jerusalem and all Israel. And Heavenly Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as your word says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim. May they prosper who love her. Hallelujah. Lord, we just pray for the peace, for the shalom of the Messiah to come upon Jerusalem, Lord. I pray, Lord, that your shalom will descend like a dove over the city and into the hearts of the people, that the dove of the Holy Spirit, of the Ruach HaKodesh, would descend upon the people and just overcome them. They would see their Messiah, Lord, and they would be saved. Lord, remove the blinders from their eyes. It's to see the revival of Israel. You know, Mark Twain went there 140 years ago, and he went to Israel, and he saw desolation, and he said that you could walk 3 days without seeing an Arab or a Jew, and there was nothing. The land was a desolation. He marveled at, he said it was just, you know, ruins. But you promise in your word, Lord, you promised in Ezekiel to build the cities and to rebuild and build the fields and the vineyards. In Isaiah, you talk about rebuilding the vineyards and letting wine drip from the mountains and the grapes. Lord, and what you're going to do. And we look at modern Israel and we see people have returned, Lord. They're returning. They're not even finished. A lot of people think they've already returned. There's millions who haven't returned. And your word says you will not leave one behind. And in Ezekiel 38, it says you will not leave one behind. I still want to go. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we pray that you bring that day. And Lord, we pray for the Messianic leadership, Lord, here in America, in the diaspora, and around the world. We pray for the leadership in the exile. We pray, Father, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna from among them, Lord, that you would give them great vision, and that they would do a new thing in leading us and leading the shepherds and the rabbis, that they wouldn't just do the same old thing with us, but they would do something new, Lord. And they would pray for us, Lord, and that you would remove any Shebnas from among them and give us Eliakim, Lord. Eliakim, we're going to talk about him today. So thank you, Lord, that you would do that. And we pray for the rabbis today. I pray for an unspoken rabbi who has COVID, and pray for his healing, and you'd comfort his wife and help his family. I don't know if they've been exposed, or I don't know the whole story. It's very hush-hush. But I just pray for this man. Lord, I pray for my friend Jamie, and her brother has a stage 4 colon cancer. I pray for healing for Jamie's brother. And I pray for all the needs of my friends. I pray for Aja, Lord, for healing from all her pains and all her aches, and from her hips, from her feet to her shoulders. Lord, we pray for Aja today. Lord, we pray for Carolyn, Lord, for her aches and pains, Lord. And we thank you that on a day like this she came out and that she had the strength. I was praying for that. And anyone else that's suffering from pain and arthritis, and we just pray, Lord, for healing. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, comfort the families of all our friends and loved ones. Particularly recently, I lost my friend Rachmiel Silverman. I pray for his wife Tamara, and they were just like so close, the two of them. And he was such a sweet man. I'll miss him. And I pray for his family and his children, his daughters, for comfort. Lord, I thank you that he was able to be buried in Israel. And I pray, Lord, for all the people. Tom and Carrie sent a prayer request. Their daughter-in-law's cousin, their daughter-in-law Nila, I think is her name, has a cousin, and he has COVID. And we pray for that young man. He's 37 to me. He's a young man, and we pray for his healing, Lord, for their daughter-in-law's cousin. Pray for his healing from COVID, Lord, for a miracle, and that everything goes well with him. We pray for everybody who's lost loved ones and who are grieving. We pray for them, Lord. Pray for the Seculo family as they continue to grieve for the loss of Scott Seculo. And just pray, Lord, that you'll give us wisdom. Help us to get the treatments, the therapeutics, whatever, cocktails, things that people need, depending on their situation, that people would get what they need to protect them from these new variants that are coming out, and the Delta variant and the new one that's come out too. And we just pray you protect your protection over the flock here. And I thank you that we've never had an indigenous case in this congregation. You've kept us safe throughout the whole thing in this, and everyone who stayed in this congregation has been safe. And that's a miracle. And we've been fellowshipping. We've been eating together. We've been out together, lunch, restaurants. We've been boating together. And God has protected us from all sickness in the congregation. It's a miracle. Thank you. And bless, just we pray for the vision of Aliyah, that you bring it to pass, Lord. And bless my wife as she flies today, Lord. Keep her safe. And give your angels charge over her as she flies across the country. She flew from Albuquerque to Houston, and I don't know where she's flying now, but she's something else. Anyway, thank you, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen. And I'm going to feel led to do the page 21. I'm going to do, this is not on the list, but it's here in front of me. I feel led to do this. It's from the Amidah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu v'Elohei Avoteinu Elohei Abraham Elohei Yitzchak Elohei Elohei Yaakov Ha'el Hagadol Hagibor V'Hanora El Elyon Gomel Chasadim Tovim V'Kone Hakol Chasde V'Zocher Chasde Avot Umevi goel livne venehem, the ma'an shemo v'ahava. And I would translate that, but I only have it in Hebrew, but it's on page 21. you can check it out in your Siddur. And that's from the Amidah. And the Amidah is the 18 prayers, the Shemona Esrei. And it's perhaps the along with the Shema, probably the oldest prayer in Judaism. It's the oldest prayer said in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Yeshua probably prayed the Amidah when he was alive. Would you agree with that, Anthony?
Sure would.
Yeah. It's very ancient prayer. It's very long. It's 18 blessings, 18 prayers. Takes about, if you were to pray through it at lightning speed, it would take you about 12 to 14 minutes. And the men do. They pray through it. That's when you see them standing there and they're going like this and they're dove, it's called dovening, and they're praying. Usually they're praying the Amidah, and they do it silently and they do it out loud, and it's so fast when they pray it, you can't understand. You can't follow it, and they're just doing it to get through it. But it's really a beautiful prayer. And one of the scriptures talks about the resurrection. And we sing it in the song Melech Ozer, which we'll sing one day, but not today. Okay, let's move on. What's next? I guess the Shema. Oh, we did have the Amidah was in there today.
Yeah,
oh, praise the Lord. Guess it was in there. No, I just did it. The Shema. Please rise. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto, Yolam Vaed, Yahavta El Adonai Elohecha, V'chol Levavcha, V'chol Nafshecha, V'chol Meodecha, V'hayu HaDivarim HaEle, Asher Nochim Etzavcha Hayom Al Levavecha, V'shinatam Levanecha, V'dibarta b'am, b'shivtecha b'veitecha, u'v'lechtecha v'aderech, u'v'shachtecha, u'v'kumecha, u'kishartam liyot al yadecha, v'hayu l'totafot b'ineinecha, וכתב תם על מזוזות ביתך ובישעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Today for Deborah having successful heart catheterization. She told me this morning, and she didn't ask me to say this, but I want to praise God for that.
Yes, amen.
Let's give him a clap. Amen. Didn't know she was having it, but we're just thankful that she's okay and she's with us.
Amen.
We pray the Lord heals you of those bruises and where they stuck those. It's the catheter in. You're lucky. I got it stuck in the other place. It was not fun.
TMI.
Huh? I didn't say where the other place is. It's just between me and Deborah.
Boy, TMI.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Just go to Anthony.
Okay. So, Ya'amod.
There it is. Ya'amod, Asher Ben Zedekiah, Baruch Adonai Hamorah, Baruch Adonai Amroch Yolam Ba'ed, Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Bachar Bani Mikol Amin, Ne'natan Lanu Et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai, Notein HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
I can turn it over to Anthony.
You can be seated. Thank you. Okay. this today, I always say, is the it's the parashah for the ladies, because it's about Kaisara, which was it tells us about Sarah's life and the type of life that she lived. You know, she has, you know, she's part of the Shabbat prayer that we pray over the young people. And, you know, she has the ladies' part, and it's from Genesis chapter 23 through 25. I was getting ready to leave to come to service, and I get a news feed every day from Israel. Sort of tells me what's going on. And I know the UN, I guess it was yesterday, sanctioned Israel again for they keep trying to say Israel is an apartheid nation, or they're saying it. It's not true, but they're constantly attacking Israel, saying that they're discriminatory and they're racist, and you can name it. But you know what's so awful about it? You know, when you look at it, the numbers, Israel has been sanctioned 95 times since they started keeping track of these sanctions. But when you look at Iran and some of the Islamic countries that are constantly sending rockets to Israel, just recently, you know, they had thousands of rockets fell in Israel, and they've only been sanctioned just 10 times out of all that time. It's only been sanctioned 10 times. So you can see the days are getting closer as we see, you know, God has to be a little tired of listening to all this down here, but he's still on the throne. He's still controlling things, no matter what the government says. You know, if you want to, when you mess with Israel, God will come back and mess with you. Because I know a lot of people said, you know, God was involved with the election a couple of elections ago, and you know that, and I know he was, because there was something that was said that I think turned the whole presidential election. I'm going back a couple presidents ago, but it was said by one of the candidates, and here's what they said. It says, deep-seated religion that beliefs must be changed. That's what the candidate said before the nation, that we've got to change these deep-seated religious beliefs because they're not good. And that person lost the election. It was a stunning upset, but God had, when you mess with Israel and United States, the president, sitting president then, messed with Netanyahu in Israel to try to throw the election in Israel to another party, and it didn't succeed, but God came back. And when you mess with Israel, God has your number, and he will definitely mess with you at some point. And he did in our election. He wasn't that far behind, not that long ago. But today, about Sarah, her life, we see that how God was faithful to Abraham and Sarah. He gave them a miracle, and it's sort of a shadow of Yeshua, because his birth was a miracle. And if you look at the four ladies who are the matriarchs, you'll see all three of them, without Leah, all suffered to have children for in their lives. They all went through trials and tribulations to bring birth to their children. And this is what happened today with Sarah and the birth of Isaac. It was a miracle from God that she was able to bring forth a child, because she was old in her age. But we see that God likes nothing in his generosity that relates to this world. He holds back nothing from us if we believe and trust in him. So we see today Abraham and Sarah were very faithful to God, and he promised to make their descendants as the stars of heaven. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, Sarah sort of came against the Egyptian woman because she and had him throw her and her son out. And so a lot of people don't understand, maybe follow the scripture, but, you know, they were, she was trying to come between, or she was coming between, and her son was coming between Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. They wanted, because they knew, I think Hagar knew that the covenant was with Isaac. And you see, Isaac was the firstborn Jewish child. He was the first one that went through the Brit Milah per the Torah, and he was the first one. That's the reason the covenant, he was the first one to be in the covenant from God of the Brit Milah, because Abraham and Ishmael was circumcised later in life and not on the eighth day as Isaac was. So that's one of the important things to remember. But see, the covenant was with him, and there was no way to move that covenant to another son, because God was very precise to Abraham and said, the covenant is not with Ishmael, but the covenant is with Isaac, even though Ishmael will become a great nation in his time, and he has today as we see that. You see, the seed of Abraham, it blessed all the nations. It blessed us because of his seed going around the world, that it was blessed. And so we see later on, as Sarah passes away, that we see the first Jewish wedding with Isaac and Rebekah. And you know, but this parasha is more about Sarah. It talks about her death and burial than her life, which is interesting. But you know, Sarah was a spiritual tree, and you know, she and her influence continues today. I have a granddaughter named Sarah, so people name their kids after Sarah because I think it's because they realize what a spiritual tree, a spiritual person, that the matriarch Sarah was. So we want our daughters to be like her. That's why we pray on the Shabbat prayer, is make our daughters like Sarah and Leah. Sarah's the only one that bore, you know, Isaac was the only child that she bore. And so the covenant stayed with Isaac. There was no change in it. Her name also, her name means princess, but also means dominion. You see, the deeds of a righteous person far exceeds their life and encourages others. A righteous person, what they do goes beyond their life, and that's like Sarah. Her life continued on through the thoughts and the ideas of other people that knew her. She created an ongoing move toward good. She was a very righteous lady. She was righteous unto God, and her influence continues on today, as we see. You know, the scripture says she was 100 years old, she was 20 years old, and she was 7 years old. So God chops it up into three sections there. It's like taking your age and making it. We won't do that today because I can't count that far. But she had three sections of her life that God has asked for there. And so, you know, she passes on and she dies in Hebron. And we see that, we see the first marking in the Jewish world as far as the cornerstone that Abraham purchased. You know, a lot of people say, well, Israel doesn't really have a claim to the land. But if you look back at the scriptures, there's three cornerstones in the Hebrew scriptures that tells us about God and what God has done for the Jewish people. We see today that Abraham purchased that cave in Ephraim bought it from Ephraim, and he paid 400 shekels of silver. And I looked it up. That's probably about $1 million today that he paid for that piece of land that included a cave that became the burial site for all of the matriarchs and the patriarchs. The only one what is not there is Rachel, and she died along the way in Bethlehem. And so the cave is called Mapelech, and it was the first cornerstone in the Jewish world that we know of today, and it's still there. It's still a part. That cornerstone is still there. You know, when you buy a piece of property, the surveyors come and they'll mark the land with a cornerstone or a marker. Because when I had to go to court, I had to sit through this long trial, and that was one of the things. It was a boundary dispute, and they got into the cornerstones and the markings, and it took forever. And I'm thinking, oh my, it was quite a bit, because God put the cornerstone here for Israel. It's still there. There's three of them. That's the cornerstone there in Mapelech, and the one that's in Mount Moriah, and then in Shechem, where Jacob buried Joseph. That is the third cornerstone, not to mention that the Jewish people are in there. You know, God developed this, and Israel doesn't belong to the Palestinians. You know, one of the things about Sarah that I'm impressed with is the fact, I think she's the one that sort of presides over, or she does, I feel, over the Shabbat. You know, she's the one, or the ladies of the house are the last ones that do any work on the Shabbat. You know, they go ahead and prepare the meals, but then we come to the Shabbat, and then that's the last part of the Shabbat. Before the Shabbat begins is the preparation of the candle and the prayer, and that's done by the women. God has the ladies of the household. So we can see with Sarah, she's the one that sets the household in order, how a person should live, how a lady should develop her home, and how it should be. That's why I think Sarah is very important to the people, and still in the world today, that she's her presence is still there. And if you look, you know, even with the Shabbat, you know, the Shabbat sticks between two other worship areas, two other religions that the Shabbat sets between the middle of them. And on Friday, you see the Islam has their worship service. And then on Saturday, then that would be the Christians, and the Catholics would celebrate their service on Saturday. And so that's where the Shabbat sits, between both of those two foreign gods that we have, you know. And with that, you know, with the United States and what goes on, I was reading and I'd forgotten this, but in 2016, the Arch of Baal was erected in New York City at the center there for the finances, and it opens the door for worship of a foreign god. And so that's what God is telling us today, that, you know, there's talks about the two in Revelations, that they're coming together, and those two religions have already been formed. You know, in 321, I think it was, the Nicene Council, that the Catholic Church came out and led the group up until, I think it was 1798, that Napoleon came in, and Rome was no longer the capital of the papacy, and it was removed. And it didn't change. It changed in 1928 or 1929, that the Vatican Treaty was introduced, and Rome once again became the capital of the papacy, that it became back into power. And we see also in 1917, England removed Islam and the Turks out of Israel. And then in 1948, Israel became a nation in one day. And then we find in 2011, with the Arab Spring that came about, that the Arabs were wanting to change the governments, and this was across the Arab world. And we can see from 2011 how the Arab nations have moved and have become more violent and more restricted of the people that are in their religion, in their areas in religion, and they're all surrounding the land of Israel. Israel now is completely encompassed by, and I think that's the two things that God speaks about in Revelations, is those two religions that are coming, and they have surrounded the land of Israel completely. But if you look at the Palestine, and you know, today I was reading about that with this latest rebuke, and it was about the Palestinians, but you know, there's a great move. And the United States, you know, cast the vote to make Israel a nation in 48. But I think we're also going to be the nation that is going to recognize Palestinians as a nation. That's coming. I think that's biblical, and it's just around the corner, and they're going to establish them as a nation per the UN. And when they do that, you know what they want for their capital is going to be. It's going to be Jerusalem. That's, they've already said that. They've already made, they're wanting to split Jerusalem now to have an east and a west. It's already on the maps and everything. If you Google it, you'll see that Jerusalem's already been split. So they're definitely wanting to. But God says, the Jewish people already said they will not leave Jerusalem. So that's happened in 48. And so we see with 67, Israel came back in and took over the Mount Temple Mount. But we see the United States is going to be the one that's going to be involved very deeply. We were very deeply involved in 2011 or 2010, whenever it happened, with the Arab Spring. We were very involved in financing and pushing that agenda forward. And so you can see, you know, even with Abraham and with the Jewish people and Sarah, that the attack on Israel is still going on a day-to-day basis. But we can look up, our redemption is done. So we see, you know, she was quite a lady. Sarah was. And I think she passes a lot of information to the ladies here today. That's why I call this sort of your all's parashah, because Sarah was the one who set her house in order, and she maintained it, and she took care of her son, she took care of her husband, and I think that's what we have here today with these ladies, that set the Shabbat in order and have it ready for God's Shabbat to come about. So Shabbat Shalom.
Is my headset on? Test 1, 2. Praise the Lord. Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shabbat shalom.
It's great to be in the house of the Lord and to worship Yeshua. Amen. It's a privilege. It's a privilege that we have. And when I remember my life before the Lord, I didn't know walking into my first Messianic synagogue was like walking through C.S. Lewis, like walking through the wardrobe in Narnia for me. It was when I walked in and this woman came running up the aisle, big woman with long black hair, and she threw her arms around me. I thought she was going to tackle me, but she hugged me, and it was such a wonderful greeting, and I felt so warm and invited. And then she sat me down next to another young woman who's still friends of mine, Debbie Frankel. She's an attorney up in Philadelphia, and we're still friends to this day. And I sat down next to her that day, and we've been friends all the way through, 26 years. But that was the day that I knew I was Messianic. I'd been going to church. I had just discovered church a few months before. And the pastor of one of the pastors of the church where I was going after I got saved, he sent me to the Messianic synagogue. He said, "You know, just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean you have to stop being Jewish," he said. And he sent me, even though I was attending his church, and it was a big church, 2,000, 3,000 members. They didn't need me. You know, just one piddly little person. You know, I wasn't a rich man or anything. It wasn't like, you know, they were going to lose a massive tithe or something, you know. But he sent me, he said, "Joe, there's a place called a Messianic Jewish congregation, and I encourage you to go there and check it out." And I think that was one of the greatest gifts and favors. He was such a kind man. Richard Rhodes was his name. He's one of the associate pastors of Grace Chapel in Lexington, Massachusetts. It's one of the premier churches of Massachusetts, one of the biggest churches in Massachusetts. Gordon McDonald was the senior pastor when I was there. He's the man who counseled with Tony Campolo, counseled Bill Clinton during his post-in flagrante delicto sessions, pastoral counseling sessions after the Monica Lewinsky scandal. So my pastor was one of the ones who counseled Bill Clinton back in the 90s. Don't know that it worked much. But we're not called to get success. We're just called to preach. Amen. When you plant the seed for your garden, you're not responsible for what comes out, are you, Dave? Not at all. Amen. So that's the way it is with the gospel. When you share the gospel, you're just responsible to sow the seed, not for what happens afterward. That's all in God's hand. Anyhow, I heard an interesting interview the other day, on Sean Hannity, and it was Dr. Robert Malone. Apparently, I'd never heard of him before. He's one of the he's the primary developer of the mRNA delivery system of the vaccine. You've heard of him, Matthew? Okay. Have you ever heard him speak? He's a conservative, isn't he? Okay. But, well, the way he was talking is he was mentioning guys like Robert Navarro. He was working with Robert Navarro, who's with a close Trump associate, was in the Trump administration, and is still a very conservative fellow, Navarro. I don't know about this guy Malone, but I had never heard this guy Malone. But I'm not going to tell you what he said, because I got called a sorcerer for just mentioning the vaccine last week. I never told anybody to take anything. I want to make this clear today. I never told anybody to take a vaccine. Let this be on the record. I never told anybody not to take a vaccine. I never told anybody to take a vaccine. And I never will. You guys do what you feel led to do and what God tells you to do. And I'm here for counseling if you want to talk to me spiritually about the matter. I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to talk to you. I have already counseled with other people about it, and I think they would tell you. I never told them what to do. I prayed with them. But somebody called me a sorcerer last week and went around the room talking to other people, telling them I was a sorcerer. And at the end of the night, that person called me a sorcerer, because the word pharmakia is in the book of Revelation. And since I was, the person didn't even listen to my message. They walked out 10 minutes after I started preaching, but had the nerve to come up to me afterward and call me a sorcerer. So for the record, I'm not a sorcerer. I'm a rabbi. I'm under authority. And I'm going to talk today about how you can tell the difference between a sorcerer and a man of God, and how you can distinguish what a sorcerer is. It's going to be part of my message today. This is important that people understand who is genuine. We live in a time of great deception. And so you have to be able to determine, as sheep, you have to be able to determine, as the children of God, what is genuine and what is false. Amen? You have to be able to, and you have to be able to do it like that sometimes. You know, you don't have the luxury right now. We live in such a dark and dangerous time. We live in a very dangerous time right now. And if we have to be able to make lightning decisions between right and wrong, light and dark, good and evil. Amen? And as the days grow darker, the pressure on us to make those decisions is going to get greater and greater. And my job is to try to help you, guide you through this. It's kind of like, did anybody ever see the Chronicles of Narnia? Not the Chronicles of Narnia, the other guy, who else did was the Catholic one with the Hobbit, Tolkien, and if you've ever seen any of the Tolkien movies, it's almost like a picture of the demonic world on film. I actually recommend you see them, because you're even though they're not biblical, so to speak, they really do present dark and light, and they present the unseen demonic world is what they do. They really present the unseen demonic world, and it is a scary world. If you've ever heard people who've died and seen demons and come back and reported what they looked like, what a demon, you know, it's not this cute little red guy, you know, with two little horns. I mean, demons have been reported to be like 9 foot tall monsters with claws and teeth like velociraptors and just, you know, horrible looking figures that are massive. Angels are massive too. They're angels are massive. They're not those little, you know, things you see on greeting cards with wings. You know, angels are really scary creatures, you know, beings, not creatures, beings. They're scary. They're, you know, when Gabriel appeared to Mary, it was wow. You know, when Gabriel appeared to Daniel, it blew him away. When Gabriel appeared, you look at when the angels appeared to people, they were, whoa, you know, a lot of them bowed down like it was God. You know, they didn't know how to, it was a big deal. Okay, enough about that. So I'm not going to talk about Robert Malone, but if you do want to talk to me about it in private at lunch or later, I will tell you what he said. Because I'm not malicious, but I'm just not going to preach on it. Carolyn shared this, gave me this today, and I want to share it with you. And it was just a thank you, I guess, to Rabbi Joe and it really touched my heart, so I'm going to share it with you. Thank you so much for answering the call to ministry. A great reward is yours in heaven. You're like the Energizer Bunny. You keep going and going in spite of life-threatening obstacles. You keep holding on to Yeshua. I pray for mega blessings to overtake you and your family. You and your ministry here are vital to God's plan for us, sojourners. I wish you the joy of the Lord poured over your life and family and home. This is my contribution for Pastor's Appreciation Day, which is now Rabbi's Appreciation Day. Love in Yeshua, Carolyn, and Muffin. That's her dog. And then she gave me this card. The clearest way into the universe is through a forest, wilderness, John Muir. In your honor, a tree is being planted in a national forest. Love, Carolyn. Praise the Lord. So thank you, Carolyn, for this beautiful card. And I knew she didn't ask me to do that. I just wanted to share that with you. I was very blessed. On another note, I want to welcome Tanya. I say up north we say Tanya. Down here it's Tanya. And Tanya's right there. She's back with us again. She was here a month or so ago. And she's going to be with us, or at least as often as she can. She's got a big family and a lot of commitments and things. But let's give it up to the Lord for Tanya. Amen. Tanya, where are you from?
Massachusetts,
where?
In Falmouth.
Falmouth? I had a house in, my parents had a house. I grew up in Falmouth too. Surf Drive.
Yeah.
How long did you live there?
Not long. My dad was in the Navy, so we moved from coast to coast.
Okay, so I grew up in a neighborhood of military houses along the beach that were built by the military. They were flat. They were really cool ranch houses. They were square. And they had little, they were like very modern.